Book of Mark, chapter number 9. Jesus in this chapter has been atop of what we know today, the story of the Mount Transfiguration. When they were there, of course, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. Peter said, "It is good for us to be here." And he was excited about it. I would have been too. He wanted to make three basic tabernacles up there and to stay on that cloud, on that mountain, on that high top. But the Lord said that they had a work to do. And that the Lord was going to the cross, and he would die and be risen again. And that until he rose again, they were to keep this to themselves. We pick up then in verse number 11 and in Mark chapter number 9. And this is their response to the Lord. It says, "And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must come first? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him." They were looking for the wrong person. It was the Lord Jesus they should have been looking for. Verse number 14. Now we pick up where we want to be. "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw them, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowing foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said of a child, And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity today to be in your house. I thank you for the worship hour. I thank you that you're a great God and a wonderful God. And I thank you for your voice that we read of this morning. And I pray that you'd speak to us again. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you just give our hearts what we need from the scriptures this morning. Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, as David said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thank you for your compassion upon us. And Lord, now may the Spirit of God have his will and his way in the service. And I pray you just put a hedge about this place and remove any hindrance to the Word of God being preached. And I just pray we'd all have listening ears and an open heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, again, the Lord had been up on Mount Transfiguration. Peter says it's good to be here, but they had to come back down. When they come back down, they find a situation. There's a large group of people gathered together. And what we did find out later in the reading, Peter, James, and John didn't understand what was going on first. The Lord did. Aren't you thankful? Nothing ever surprises God. I'm thankful for that. The Lord already knew why they needed to come down off that mountain. The Lord knew who was waiting for them. And I'm just thankful that God has never been surprised at anything. So sometimes we have, but God's never been. So they come down off this mountain, and their big group is gathered around because apparently there's this man who had brought his son. His son was possessed with an evil spirit and had been since he was a small child. This evil spirit had tried to hurt this child often. The child had been thrown into fire, tried to jump in water, trying to drown itself. It's just a terrible situation. What we would look at is almost convulsions and things. And many times he fell trembling and fell on the ground, foaming at the mouth. And it was a terrible situation. And this man had brought his son and asked the disciples of the Lord to cast out this evil spirit. this evil spirit which had made this child deaf and dumb. It's called a dumb spirit. The child could not talk. And later on, the Lord said deaf and dumb spirit, so the child wasn't able to hear either. And so this demonic possession had taken this child's life. And what a terrible, terrible, wicked picture we see here. But the disciples couldn't cast out this evil spirit. And it was a peculiar situation. Jewish tradition, what they always did, and we see it a couple times in Scripture, when they would address an evil spirit, they would always ask for its name. Well, this spirit made the child deaf and dumb, so there was no speaking, which made this very peculiar, because to the Jews, they couldn't cast out the evil spirit until they knew the evil spirit's name. That's just what they believed. Not going to go... Don't let your minds go down there, right? Just let it go. That's what they did. But that's what made this a very peculiar case. This child couldn't talk and couldn't hear. So this crowd had gathered why the disciples of this Jesus couldn't cast out this evil spirit. The disciples didn't know either. And one preacher wrote about this passage of Scripture, and I just liked his little outline, but it said that the Lord came down and found disputing scribes, a distracted father, a demonic boy, a diverted crowd, and a defeated disciples. That's pretty much what you saw, all right? But to come down, and the father brings, as the Lord asks, what's why all the questioning, because the scribes jumped on this situation. They hated the Lord. And when they saw that his disciples were not able to take care of this, they started asking all kinds of questions. And by the way, the world loves to watch Christians struggle, all right? We're all going to go through struggles. When we do, it's when we just keep our faith in the Lord and trust him. The Lord will see us through, I promise you that. But the disciples couldn't really answer their question. And so this father steps forward, and as we read there in verse number 17, he steps out and he says, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." He brought his son out, and he said, "My son, his talking had been taken by this evil spirit." It says there, I think it's interesting here that his talking had been taken in verse number 17. In verse number 18, this demonic spirit took him. It controlled his life, and wheresoever he taketh him. So obviously this demonic spirit was taking him away from family, taking him and putting him in bad situations. This demonic spirit tore this boy, says, and he teareth him. He tormented this boy with foaming and gnashing of teeth and pineth away. Again, these things are still real today. Don't mess with demonic influences in your life. These things are real, these evil spirits, and you're going to see it more in this country because of the pagan society that is becoming more prevalent with all the Lord's churches and preaching and respect of God and respect for his word that were in the first few hundred years. And I'm not saying everybody was saved, but there were many churches and they had a respect for the things of God, and there was a Christian background to most families in this country at some point. But that is quickly dissipating, and the more you see that being removed, the more you're going to see these wicked things, which are alive and well in other countries. This boy was controlled by this. And the father comes and says, and I find it very interesting, verse number 22, the father says, "And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." And look what the father said, "But if thou canst do anything..." If you can do anything. Now we look at that because we know the Lord, amen? Right. What do you mean if the Lord can do anything? The Lord can do anything. Yes. There's no if about it. God can do anything but fail, amen? Right. Yes. I love how the Lord responds to him in verse number 23. It says, "And Jesus saying unto them, if thou canst believe." It's not if the Lord can do anything. The Lord said, "If you believe," is the question. It's not if the Lord will have compassion. It's not if the Lord can do it. It's if we believe. And the father then began to cry out with tears, the Bible says. You see the heart of this father, the urgency of this father. You see the compassion of this father. He cries out in verse 24, and he says, "Lord, I believe." And I want to pause and say, I do believe this man had faith. Because if he didn't have faith, he wouldn't have come to the Lord. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't ask for more faith. Because he said, help thou mine unbelief. So an atheist never asks God to help his unbelief, because he doesn't have any belief. Does that make sense? So this guy had some belief, but he said, Lord, I just want my child, my son, to be healed. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I do believe. Help me where I'm struggling. And I do not in any way point fingers or cast stones at this guy. I think he loved his son. Amen. That's why he was there. I think he believed the Lord could help him. But the Lord brought out a need in his life that he needed help with his unbelief. I say today, I'm in a church today looking at a whole lot of people today that believe in the Lord. Amen. You can amen that, because that's a good thing, right? Do you believe in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen, all right? Praise the Lord. He is a great God.
Amen.
But I'm looking at a group of people, and if you could hold up a mirror, I'd look at myself. That we need help sometimes with our unbelief. It isn't that we don't believe in God. It isn't that we don't believe in His Word. We do. Amen. We believe God can do anything. We believe He's an all-powerful God. But sometimes we struggle. And I want to look at real quick what I think is where this man had some struggles and unbelief. And that's why he was there that day. So let's look at this, and I want you to consider it, because I think we today could close this service by saying, Lord, I believe. Amen. Amen. But help thou my unbelief.
Right.
It's not a matter of salvation. I am not talking about salvation.
Right.
You come to the Lord does it all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you believe that He is, He's the Son of God, He died for your sins, and that faith and repentance, ask the Lord to save you. You say, well, I have more faith now than I did the day I got saved. Well, that's the way it should be. You grow in this knowledge. Amen? Well, I know more about salvation than the day I got saved. Yeah, me too.
Amen.
If you'd have come to me as a child and said, you know, explain imputation, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? Explain justification, I don't know. My mom sings a song called Justified. I had a hard time explaining those words, but I know what it is now. But it doesn't change the fact that I was saved when I was a child. Because it's not what, you know, how much knowledge you have, it's who you put your faith in. Jesus does it all. Praise the Lord for that. But we all struggle with unbelief. We all do. So let's look at this. Number one, I believe that he struggled with unbelief when it came to the power of God. When it came to the power of God. Because he said, if thou canst do anything. Now again, you say, well, I thought he believed in the Lord. He does. He did.
Right.
He does.
Right.
And I believe we all believe in the power of the Lord.
Right.
But there are times, if you would admit it, that we struggle sometimes if God can really do it. Can God really do it? I love the fact that there's buried, and it's way before my time, some little stone over there where the church buried, here lies I can't. Y'all seen that? But the Lord can do. He's an all-powerful God. And He can. And so, but sometimes we face things and we think, well, I've heard the stories, I know what the Bible says, but can God really do this? And the answer is yes. If thou canst do anything. And what he's saying, you know, he's saying, I know you can do a lot. That's why he's there. He had heard how Jesus had healed the blind. He'd heard how Jesus had raised the lame. He had heard these things. And he says, Lord, if you can do anything, can you do this? And there may be something you're facing today that you need to go to the Lord and say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I know who you are. I'm thankful today that he has the power to save.
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved today, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the day you got saved is because he did something. But as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he, that's God, to them gave he the what?
Power.
Power.
Yes.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, when I believed on that, God did a power in my life, and that moment I went from a dead mortal person, dead spiritually, to quickened alive in God. That day God made me his child. I was born again.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for that. He has the power to save. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he has the power to save. But I don't think there's many people that would struggle with that in this auditorium today. But there's some who has the struggle sometimes that he has the power to secure. There's some who struggle with that. Well, I promise you this. The Lord said something very simple. He said, they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. There's a promise there. Ought to make you a little bit excited. If you come to God, he will not cast you out.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to keep saying that until you believe it, because you're all staring at me really weird, right? That's a wonderful verse.
Yes.
If you could lose your salvation, then Jesus lied in that passage.
Right. Amen.
If you could lose your salvation, then there would you'd have to say, well, they that come to me, I might have to cast out.
Mm-hmm.
That he would have had to have said that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
They
that come to me, he said, shall not perish.
Amen. Right.
Now, either it's true or Jesus lied.
Right.
The Bible says that they that come to him, we are placed in the Lord's hand. We're placed in the Father's hand.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
The Lord secures us. My friend, the devil loves to try to get us to doubt God's salvation. Because if he can get you to doubt God's power to hold you safe, he'll get you to doubt everything else. But my friend, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Yes.
I know I give the illustration many times, but it's just a wonderful passage of Scripture to me about this. The Bible teaches that when one sinner repents in the book of Luke, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels.
Right.
Now, why do they rejoice in heaven when a soul... Last Sunday night, praise the Lord, Eli came forward and accepted Christ as a Savior.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Right.
Amen. Did you know that when he accepted Christ as a Savior, there was rejoicing in heaven?
Right. Yes.
More than normal, I'd say. All right, but there was rejoicing in heaven. All right, they were rejoicing because of what God had done and how he became a child of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Why were they rejoicing? Simply stated, because it's settled. If it wasn't settled, they'd wait to rejoice until he got there.
Right.
Can you imagine the mood swings in heaven? If you could lose your salvation? You ever thought about that? You know, I'm just using Travis Burke's life since the day I got saved at 14. Wow. They'd be on medicine in heaven, right? You know.
Right.
Never mind. That was a joke, right? All right. I mean, yes! He got righty. He repented. Oh, boy, did he mess up. Yes, he got righty, repented, and you're the same way.
That's right. Amen.
But they rejoice when a sinner repents. They rejoice when that lost soul comes home because it's settled. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord has the power to save, and trust me, if he's going to do that and save your soul, he has the power to keep you too.
Amen.
He has the power to save you. He has the power to secure you. Now listen to me, he also has the power to keep you safe. And I'm not talking about, you know, heaven and hell here. You're his child. You know, if someone were to try to hurt my children, they would have to go through me. You know, God forbid it ever happened, but if someone tried to break into our home some night, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I hope grace takes care of it. Right? I'm not going to sit there and say, ho! Go see who's breaking in. Right? I might Alex. You know, he's a little bit stronger than I am, and he's got more weapons than I do. Right? You know, I no way. I would do everything in my what?
Power
to stop them.
Yes, right.
Now, I'm an earthly father, and I mess up, and I'm not perfect. But we have a heavenly father. He's all perfect and all powerful.
Amen.
And if I feel that way about my children, how do you think God feels about you?
Yes.
There's nothing that can get to you that God is not in control of.
Great
is the Lord. Yeah. That doesn't mean we're going to face trials. We live in a sin-cursed world. Doesn't mean we're not going to get sick. We live in a sin-cursed world. But I promise you this, that even whenever Satan wanted to get to Job, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it without God's permission. Because
right.
God is a powerful God.
Right.
Sometimes we go through things and we sometimes throw our hands up and say, God, could you please do something? And God would, if he's Travis Burke, and thankfully he's not, he would say, of course I can. He's an all-powerful God. But sometimes we struggle in our belief.
Right. Right.
Sometimes we let situations kind of overwhelm us. And sometimes we kind of throw our hands up. And this guy had come to a point, but he said, Lord, I do believe. Would you help my unbelief?
Yeah.
Sometimes we struggle with unbelief when it comes to the power of God. Sometimes we struggle with unbelief when it comes to the promises of God. The promises of God. Now you sit there and say, I believe every promise is true. Well, I think we all would sing it and say it. If I ask you, and I'm not asking you, all right? But if I ask you to say, do you believe the promises of God are true? I think everyone would say, amen. That say amen. Some people always just stare and smile at me, right? I'm always like, if you know you're saved, say amen. You're like,
amen.
It's like, no, I said say amen, not smile, right? But we believe. I believe in the auditorium. We believe the promises of God are true. Absolutely. But sometimes we struggle with unbelief. If I ask how many of us have a loved one that's lost and they're not saved right now and we're praying for them, I believe most would raise their hand today.
Right.
There's a promise in God's word that says, they that sow in tears.
Yes.
They that go forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe that everyone in the auditorium, just like me, we believe God. We believe his power and we believe his promises, but we still struggle sometimes with unbelief.
Right.
Because when was the last time we had tears going down our face for a lost loved one? But God made a promise, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
He made a promise that if we spread this seed, we'll doubtless come again. But some haven't witnessed to anybody in a long time. If we want to come back rejoicing with a harvest, we have to spread the seed.
Yes.
So again, I'm not doubting that we don't believe in God and we believe, but I'm just saying we do sometimes struggle with unbelief when it comes to the promises of God. Otherwise, everyone in the auditorium would be telling others about Christ. Amen. Everyone in the auditorium, I'm not saying we don't believe in God. We do, but we struggle sometimes with unbelief. Otherwise, every one of us would be tithing. Well, you got a lot quieter on me. Amen. Right? God said, give and it shall be given unto you. God promised that the windows of heaven would open to those who give faithfully to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, those promises are true. The devourer would be rebuked for our sake. In other words, we wouldn't keep having all these issues that keep coming up. There are reasons that we can't tithe. A lot of those would be taken care of if we did tithe. Because the Lord says when you're faithful to the Lord, he rebukes the devourer for your sake. In other words, all them issues that keep coming up, you're asking for those issues by not tithing. You say, that was harsh. It's Bible. It's Bible. I'm not saying we don't believe. I'm just saying sometimes we struggle with unbelief. Because we're not willing to step out and trust the Lord on this. If we really had no issues with unbelief, we wouldn't be anxious about things. We wouldn't worry. Because the Lord says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm not rebuking you. I'm trying to help Travis Burke right now too. Do you ever get worried about things? Yes. Do you ever get anxious about things? Yeah, I have. And you have too. The word be careful for nothing means be full of care. Anxious, overwhelmed. So I'm sitting here telling you this. There's times I struggle in my unbelief. You say, well, that's terrible. We all do.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Otherwise, we wouldn't worry. We'd say, well, my God's got this.
Right.
When it comes to troubles and trials and things that we face, when it comes to our tears and hard times, I believe in God.
Yes.
Sometimes I struggle in unbelief.
Right. Yes.
Sometimes tears fall from my face because of hurt and grief. That's just my unbelief showing. Now, it's right to cry at times, don't get me wrong. And it's right to grieve. The Lord doesn't say don't shed tears, but what he does say is this, that every tear that falls from your face, the Bible teaches in Psalms, is a wonderful and glorious thing, that every tear is captured in a bottle.
Amen.
In other words, God sees and notices every tear because he loves us. In our hurt times, the Lord, he understands. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs.
Yes.
He understands our hurts. My unbelief makes me give up and think I can't get through this. My belief will say, I know it hurts, but God's got this.
Yes.
We all struggle with unbelief when it comes to the power of God, when it comes to the promises of God. I think sometimes, and this guy was struggling with this too, when it comes to the pity of God. The pity of God. He said again in verse number 22, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have what? Have, what's he say in verse 22? Compassion on us. What's compassion means? It means to see a need and do something about it. He said, Lord, I know that you can do anything. That's why I'm here. I know you're a powerful God. I know these things. I know that you have made promises, because he's talked to a whole lot of other people that he had healed and he'd given them instructions too. But he looks and says, would you please have compassion on me?
Amen.
Would you have compassion on my son?
Right.
I know you have compassion. You've done it before. If I were to say how many believe he's a compassionate God, we'd all say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He left heaven to die for our sins. He is a compassionate God. But sometimes our unbelief makes us wonder if he's compassionate on us. I know you've taken care of them. And I know you took care of that brother. And I know you took care of that family. But can you do it for me? Sometimes we can struggle in our unbelief to the pity of God, and whether he will have compassion on us or whether he's even conscious of our need. When he came to the Lord, he said, I have brought unto thee my son. The Lord already knew. He knew the need. That's why he said to the disciples, we need to get off this mountain right now. Because there was someone that was waiting on him. He knew the need. That's why I love with blind Barnabas. I love that story. You know, remember the blind man that got saved. As Jesus was entering Jericho, there from the east, he met this blind man who heard all the commotion and said, who is that? And they said, it's Jesus. And boy, Barnabas, he wanted to meet Jesus, but Jesus had already passed by. And so Barnabas took the trip, because if you read the Bible, Jesus met him as he was leaving the city of Jericho. As he's exiting, he went through the entire city and was now on the other side heading towards Jerusalem. And there was Barnabas and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
That's why when Jesus entered the city, he went to a man, Zacchaeus.
Right.
Remember his words?
Right.
He says, Zacchaeus, come down.
Right.
For I must needs go to your house.
Right.
The Lord had to go to Zacchaeus and spend the day at the house. Why? Because Zacchaeus needed to get saved. Amen?
Right.
But also because Jesus knew there was this blind man struggling around a wall.
Right.
That needed time to get to the other side.
Right. Yes.
He's conscious of all our needs.
Yes.
Isn't it a wonderful thing?
Yes.
Jesus knows our needs.
Yes.
He has compassion on us. Sometimes we think we're breaking the bad news to God. Lord, I hate to tell you this. I have a need.
Yes.
And God's like, are you serious? Never saw this coming. No, of course not, right?
Amen.
He already knows our needs.
Amen.
He already knows our needs and already has things in motion to take care of our needs if we trust him.
Yes.
You know, I went Thursday night. I was traveling home from church, spent some time with Tyler and Brother Jeff. We fellowshipped a while, talked about some things, prayer requests. You know, but because they held me up on my way home, I hit a deer.
Amen.
It's totally their fault, right? Just kidding. Yeah. The very first thing that went to my mind when I hit that deer was, I am so glad I'm in Stacy's car.
Yeah, right.
I did not want to stand up here and explain that to you in a church car. Yeah, that was awesome, right? So I did the fun thing. I texted my wife and said, I'm okay. That's all I told her. I let her wonder a while. But that night I prayed and said, all right, God, there's nothing I could do about that one. My wife needs a car. So God, if it's your will, I pray you take care of it. And I've had to give it to God.
Yes.
And I believe God will work things. He's just a great God.
Amen. Yes.
Regardless, you say, what if you don't get one? Then that's what God wants, and that's awesome.
Right.
But the fact is this, I only tell you that to say this. My first thought was, now what am I going to do? There's this whole wedding thing. They're expensive, right? It's like, I don't know. Yeah, that's Coy's fault. I'm just like, I don't have money right now to. But then my unbelief started talking, right?
Right.
My unbelief started taking the situation. I became full of care. I started to worry about it. And God said, don't you remember what you studied this morning?
Amen.
He did. He rebuked me in my bed. You just studied. You wrote the words that God is conscious of your needs. I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
I'm his child. Of course he knows your needs.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean I don't have an obligation to do right. You know, I need to walk in the path of God and stay in his will. But sometimes we start doubting his pity and his compassion, his consciousness, and that he cares for us. But he does care for us. Sometimes our unbelief doubts the power of God and the promises of God and the pity of God. Let me give you a fun one. Sometimes our unbelief doubts the precepts of God. See, what are precepts? Those are principles for living. Some of us have some unbelief issues when it comes to the precepts of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't have some of the junk in our life that we do. I told you it's fun, right? I mean, if we believed what God said, then we'd fill our life with, you know, the right entertainment and the right fellowship. We'd fill our life and we'd stay away from things that are clearly wrong in the Word of God. Stay away from even the gray areas of life, because if your heart just wants to glorify Him, and if you believe in the promise of God that He requires us to live a holy life and He'll bless that holy life, why would we mess with this other stuff? Why would we dabble in the wrong dress? Why would we dabble in the wrong music? Why do we dabble in all these things? Because our unbelief.
Yes.
Yes. It's an unbelief problem. Because if we believed, be holy, then why would we want to mess with things that wouldn't be holy?
Yes.
If we believed that as we preached on Thursday night, that the Spirit of God will work when we fill our life with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, why would we dabble in the other stuff? If we believe that our dress and our appearance is a testimony for the Lord, and God did give us guidelines in His Word how to dress in a holy life, why would we not want to do that? Unbelief. Yeah. Why would we continue going to a bottle? Why would we continue going to these places of entertainment? Why would we continue doing all this stuff? We have an unbelief problem. And we as God's people should fall on our face today and say, God, I believe. I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I believe most, if not all, in this auditorium, you're here because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I am saying most, if not all, we struggle with unbelief at times. And we need to be like this man if we really want it. That's the question.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's why God said, it's not if I can do anything, if you believe.
Right. Yeah.
If we really want it. And that's why he cried out in tears. And he cried out. It wasn't like this one little tear went down his cheek and he said, Lord, I do believe. It's not what he said, right? I mean, when he did, when he realized this, he cried out because why? The Lord was right there. He didn't need to holler.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the tears weren't a show. He wanted his son to get healed.
Right.
Yeah. He said, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
Help my unbelief.
Right.
What did the Lord do that day? He healed his son.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I think the dad was glad he went to the Lord that day.
Amen.
I think the boy was glad he went to the Lord that day.
Yeah.
I think he's glad that he admitted he had an unbelief problem. I think he was glad that he cried out and he wept with tears. The fact is this, if we believe the precepts of God, we wouldn't struggle in a lot of areas, but we have unbelief sometimes. We have unbelief when it comes to the power of God and the promises of God and the pity of God and the precepts of God. And I close with this. I'm done. Sometimes we struggle with the potential of God. If thou canst do anything, what is the potential of God? He can do whatever he wants. He struggled with it a little bit. If you really can, I don't know. I don't know where we are. I probably maybe could have looked that up. I just thought of it. I don't know what all miracles Jesus had done by this time. There's quite a few. Because he's heading towards the cross here. But this guy knew the Lord could do some amazing things. He believed. That's why he was there. You believe. That's why you're here. I mean, if you didn't believe, you'd have found something else to do on Sunday morning. But you believe in God. That's why I'm here. I believe in God. But that doesn't mean I don't have an unbelief problem. And sometimes we struggle with unbelief when it comes to the potential of God. And I'll just make a few statements and we'll pray. The potential summed up could be this. It will be worth it all.
Amen.
When we see Jesus. God can do anything. The potential is this, it will be worth it all. He will come again. He will come again. He could come back tonight. Amen? Belief tells us that. Our unbelief keeps us at home tonight. Oh, ouch, right? Yeah, right? I mean, if you got a message in the mail that said the Lord's coming back tonight at 7 p.m., I'd venture to say you'd go to church tonight. I want to watch the game tonight. But the Lord's coming back at 7. Yeah, he won't care. Yeah, he probably would want to be at church, right? At least me and the Elims would. Amen. All right, yeah, right. I know that one hurts, right? But that's where our unbelief steps in. That's where our unbelief steps in. There are people out there that will not see Thursday morning. It's appointed unto men once to die. There are people out there that won't see Thursday morning. We believe that, right?
Yeah, amen.
Our unbelief keeps us from visitation. Because if they really won't see Thursday, what if we were the one that were going to knock on their door Wednesday night?
Right. Yep. Right.
We all have an unbelief problem, don't we?
We do.
We just do. I do.
Yeah.
I'm not rebuking the church. I'm trying to exhort the church. We all will struggle with this. So the message like this morning is just to understand that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and he will come again.
Right.
And what we've done for the Lord is all that's going to matter. Right?
Amen.
We believe that.
Yep.
There's going to be a judgment seat of Christ one day. It's in the Bible.
Yep.
And what we have done for Christ is all that's going to matter.
Yep.
It's the truth.
Yep.
I mean, now you're struggling responding because you know there's a catch coming, right? Yeah, right? But what we've done for Christ is what's going to matter. Amen for that. And there's going to be rewards for what we've done for Christ. But there's also things that we spend our time on, like wood, hay, and stubble, that's just going to burn up. They are going to do us no good one day. And in belief, we amen that. But in unbelief, we continue wasting our time and not doing anything for the Lord. You know, When I was a young man, there are Miss Pac-Man game consoles that I still have the record on. I was incredible at it. I don't want to brag, but I'm still pretty good at it. You know, Cairo, Egypt, my high score. That's right. I was 15, beat the high record. You're not impressed at all. I did, right? I left Cairo, Egypt with my initials, TJB, at the top of that Miss Pac-Man board. That should impress more of you. Brother Matt appreciates that, don't you, brother? Thank you, brother, right? But the fact is this, when I get to heaven, the Lord will not say, oh, whoa, Miss Pac-Man record holder right here.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, here it is. I know when in the Bible, here's the Miss Pac-Man crown, right? No, it ain't going to happen, right? Because those things are not going to matter in eternity.
Yes.
And we believe it. But Lord, help my unbelief, too.